your schedule. Amen. So the Lord's good, and it's definitely a privilege to be here. We look forward to coming. This is refreshing for us. Amen. And it's not because of the city, it's because of you. We like what we do, and we travel all over, and we know a lot of good people. And that's what makes places attractive to us, or make us look forward to doing what we do, or make it bearable to do what we do. It's the people. And you've been very gracious to us through the years, and we're glad to be on your schedule, and we'll be glad to be on it until you kick us off. Amen. But I hope the Lord comes back before that happens. Amen. All right. Back there on the table, I'm going to say more because the preacher said I would. I don't know why I spend any time promoting it. I don't get a cut from any of it. That's the singing CDs, that's my wife and daughter's project. And the other stuff back there, those photographs, those 8x10s, suitable for framing. Here's how you can tell. We framed them. Amen. That's how you can tell. People have said, asked where we got the pictures. There have been times where they didn't realize that Emmy took them all. And took them both of them with a little bitty camera, and now she's got a better one. But we get to go to a lot of beautiful places. And just by virtue of that alone, she's come up with some pictures, and then she got to where she started putting Bible with them, and it might be a blessing to you. And like the preacher said, they might make a nice gift. Let's face it. Let me see. December, November, October, September. You know, there's only like 150 shopping days of Christmas left. You might want to beat the rush and just stop by there on your way out. And like I say, all that's theirs. And like he said about the orphan, I don't get a cut. Amen. I'm just a driver for that crew. And it's a joy to be here. Open your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Good to see the bike riders with us, Bikers for Christ. I like that. Amen. It's good to have you. One of the men asked me on the hall, I walked out, they said, are these friends of yours? I said, I hope so. I hope they're not enemies of mine. Amen. Amen. But, amen. I like that. And we're glad you're here. We're glad everybody's here. I'm glad I'm here. Amen. Exodus chapter 14 this morning. And we'll begin reading in verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. Amen. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. You've got Israel just been released from 400 years of bondage. They trusted God. They'd been told He would send a deliverer. They believed that. They watched generation after generation live and die, and always counted on the promise that God would fulfill. And He did, and He sent Moses. And I hope you know the story. And if you don't, you know, I'm sure you've probably at least seen the movie. Amen. And here they are at the Red Sea. Amen. And it's a shame, but it's true. Too many people get their doctrine from the wrong place. But we're going to get it from the right place today. And Pharaoh changed his mind. Israel left there. But Pharaoh changed his mind, amen, and took off after him. In the passage, the verses prior to that, talk about all the horses and chariots and his army. And, I mean, he put every ship of sail. He went out after him. He's upset. He's mad. And he wants to take care of business. And here you've got him here, afraid. And it says that they cried out unto the Lord. Now it's good. Now it's good. That's what they should do. That's what I do. That's what I do when things come about I don't understand. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. Amen. I'm not trusting the world. Amen. I'm not turning on the radio. I'm glad today that I have access by faith under the throne of grace, and that I can get on my face before God and go boldly before that throne to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I don't know about you, but that's often in my life. I mean, amen. I'm in need a lot. And so Israel, they're on the right foot here when they cry unto the Lord, but they should have stopped there. They didn't. Verse 11 says this, and they said unto Moses. Now they talked, they cried out to God, but now they're talking to their pastor. Because there were no graves in Egypt, Hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. It said, isn't this not the word? We said, absolutely not. It is not the word. They wanted to go. Amen. They didn't say, let us alone. They said, let's get going. They wanted to be free from slavery. But like some of us sometimes, when they get their back up against the Red Sea or back up against the wall, amen, they start forgetting some things. And this passage indicates they're trying to convince Moses that they'd have rather lived in slavery than to be free, even if it cost them their life. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't. I was in slavery, I was in bondage to sin for 18 years of my adult life, and I'll tell you what, I'm glad to be on this side. I'm glad to be forgiven. I'm glad to be free, and whatever it costs, amen, I'd rather die a free man than a slave to anything. Wouldn't you? Verse 13, here you got Moses says, come back, and he says this, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Let's pray again. Father in heaven, Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you, thankful that we can do that. Thankful that we've got your word on it, that we can pray, and Lord, we can get our hearts cleansed from sin and anything that might pray, but our prayers can get through. You're interested in hearing them. You're interested in answering them. And we pray today for these services. I pray for the ability to deliver the message, God, in a way that will be a blessing to you most of all and to these precious folks that have gathered here today. And Lord, there's needs in this room that I don't know anything about, and it's just as well because I couldn't do anything about them. But we commit them to the one, to you, Lord, that can do something about every need in this room. And if there's somebody in here, Lord God, that doesn't know beyond a shadow of a doubt if they were to die today or when they do die, that they'd go to heaven, Lord, the greatest need there is, in spite of the prayer request for physical healing, the greatest need still remains that a person's sins be washed away under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's one in our midst today, I pray that today'd be the day they'd come to know Jesus Christ, not as a historical figure, but as a personal Savior. Lord, today, bless our services, manifest your presence, and we will thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you've got the story of the Red Sea here, and you're familiar with it. Now, let me read something. Come from a Sunday school class, a 9-year-old boy's mother asked him on a Sunday afternoon. She said, Jeremy was his name. She said, Jeremy, what did you learn in Sunday school this morning? And Jeremy said this. He said, well, Mom, the teacher, she told us about how Israel was prisoners of war in Egypt, and in Moses. Moses was in God's special forces, and Moses went in to rescue them, and he did, and he rescued them all. And as they were leaving, they got to the Red Sea, and they couldn't get over, and the enemy was chasing them. And his mom's just looking at him, you know. And Jeremy said, well, Moses then he had his engineers build a bridge over the Red Sea, and everybody got all the prisoners of war across, okay. And then when the people that were pursuing him tried to follow him, he called in an airstrike and blew up the bridge, and they all drowned, and everybody got away safe. And that's what Jeremy told his mom, and his mother said, your Sunday school teacher told you that? And Jeremy said, well, not exactly like that, but if I told you what she said, you'd never believe it. Amen. I say that to say this. I believe it. I believe it just like it's written. Well, I thank God today that I can have the confidence. Amen. I don't think I know much, let alone everything, But I'll tell you what, I stand here confident that book's true. Say, how do you know it's true? Can you prove it with the Greek and the Hebrew? Listen, the only Greek I know runs a diner in Detroit. Amen. His name's Demetrius, little guy. Amen. Good pizza. Amen. Listen, God put that Bible in English, and one day I did what it said. One day I bowed my knee and my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that book says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. One day I did that, and I'm going to tell you what, God changed my heart. It didn't change my appearance, amen, right away. I didn't get a shave and a haircut and a new suit of clothes and turn over a new leaf. That's not what happened at all. God didn't make a wimp out of me when he made me into a Christian either. But he did something right there, and he changed my heart. And I'll tell you right now, I'm more of a man than I ever was when I thought I was some tough guy gang member. Amen. Why? Because this book's true. And I'll tell you what this book says, what we just read, is that Moses, with Israel's back up against the wall and all of the Egyptian army bearing down on him, the preacher said, fear ye not, and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'll tell you what, if that was some of the people that I preached to these days, I can guarantee you that went over like a ton of bricks. Amen? Amen? Can you imagine the scenario here? You've got Egypt bearing down on Israel, the soldiers, the horses, the cavalry, Israel with its back up against the Red Sea. Amen. If it was morning time and Egypt was pursuing them, as they looked and saw the cloud, amen, kicked up by the horses and the chariots, the sun rising behind them, the sun reflecting off the spearheads and the armor. Amen. Perhaps as they got closer and closer, they could feel that, not very good, amen, they could feel the hooves of the horses getting closer and closer. Perhaps even to some point, hear the commanders of the Egyptian army as they call out flanking maneuvers and start to surround the children of God. The Bible says these people were sore afraid, and so would you be. Scared to death. And their preacher said, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'll tell you what, Israel wasn't in danger of being recaptured that day. They were in danger of being slaughtered. And they were afraid for good reason. But Moses told him, he says, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And if you know anything about how the story goes, that's how it went. The Lord parted the Red Sea, Israel went across. Egypt started to follow. Lord brought the sea back down and wiped out the Egyptians, and they saw them no more forever, just like the Bible said. Now, I failed that to say this. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, I got no problem with figuring that anybody and everybody in there would agree with me when I say that that was indeed a great salvation. What a great story, is it not? Now, I thought somebody would agree with me. Let me try it again. Is it not? Yes. Amen. Turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And let's look what it says in verse 3. Hebrews chapter 2 in verse 3. And Paul writes this here. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now listen, I'm no theologian, not by a long shot, but I can answer that question right there. We won't. If you neglect the great salvation that was purchased on the cross of Calvary by the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't escape. Amen. And let me say this to you. The plight of the unrepentant sinner who neglects the salvation of the Lord, amen, is in a lot worse shape than those Jews that had their back up against the Red Sea. Amen. The unrepentant sinner who dies with a knowledge of God, but not a personal relationship, amen, is in a lot worse shape than those folks were. They were in danger of being slaughtered, but truth of the matter is, even though they were delivered, they did eventually die in the wilderness. People that neglect this great salvation that Christ purchased on the cross, well, they die all right. They die forever. I want to preach to you this morning for a few minutes on the subject of the great salvation. Conversely, the folks that Christ rescues, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The folks that get the gift of eternal life by putting their faith in what Christ did on the cross of Calvary never die. Ever. That's great salvation there. All right. Now, turn your Bibles, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Great salvation this morning is the subject, and I'm going to give you a few things why it's great, why it's great. I'm just going to remind many of you of some things you already know. Amen. I know you get sound doctrine. Amen. And I know you get good sound Bible teaching, and some of you have been saved and been in the book longer than I have, and I'm the first to concede that. But I'll tell you this, my job and my desire is to stir you up this morning and this week, put you in remembrance of some things you may very well already know. And you might be in here today and you've never looked at it this way, that I pray that the Spirit of God will bear witness to the Word of God, and you might see it in the light God would have you to see it in this week. Amen. No matter how you cut it, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Somebody say amen. Amen. Romans chapter 5, and let's look together in verse 12. And let me say to you, first of all, what makes this salvation that we're talking about, what makes it great, is a great requirement. Look in verse 12. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Amen. Listen, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me say to you that sin has a great requirement today. Sin's requirement is death. Amen. We need a great salvation because sin, amen, has a great requirement. Amen. And listen, it's got that two forms of death. Amen. That's a physical death. Amen. I was in California last year preaching, and of course, at the time I was with that church, two precious old saints of God went on to be with the Lord. Two folks that we've known for years have been struggling with illness and disease, finally succumbed to it, stepped out of this earthly body and into the presence of the Lord. Amen. They were saved. They were ready to go. Amen. But I tell you what, it opened the door. It gave a great opportunity. Amen. Bring people into where they hear the gospel of Christ. And a preacher said this. He said, listen, everybody in here is in line for what just happened to them to happen to you. Amen. Every one of us has an appointment. The Bible said, and as it is appointed unto man, once to die. But after this, the judgment, the interesting thing about that is there are entire industries dedicated to keep people healthier and live longer. And the bottom line is, it's not going to change the fact that you've got an appointment to meet your Maker. Amos said in chapter 4, prepare to meet thy God. Everybody here is going to. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, why that is. Because death, amen, is the wages of sin. And but here's the interesting thing about it. We've got an appointment, amen, with death. The deal is, that's not the only appointment that's listed in the verse in Hebrews chapter 9. It says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, that's one. And after this, the judgment. There's two appointments. And the problem is, and the thing is, and the interesting thing is, most people spend their whole life spending more time thinking about that first appointment than that second one. I'll tell you what, death is passed upon all men for of all have sinned. But I'll tell you the thing you need to put some effort and some thought into today isn't that physical death that we've all got in common. It's that meeting of your Maker. Because you're going to. And when I go home, sometimes we'll catch up on doctor's appointments and things like that, dentist appointments, things like that. Listen, when I get home and I have an appointment to have my teeth cleaned or something like that, it's not the receptionist that I'm not looking forward to seeing. It's the dentist. Aren't you the same way? Amen. I'm going to tell you what, death is merely the receptionist. Amen. For meeting your Maker, it'd be good for us to put more thought into that. Physical death is part of the package for the human being. The Bible says Wherefore by one man sin entered. Amen. And death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But there's more to it than that. There's more to it than physical death. Physical death's common. But I tell you what, you die in your sin. Amen. If you neglect so great salvation, there's a spiritual death involved. And it's an infinite death. It's an everlasting death. And when that book says, for God so loved the world, it says it shall not perish. And when the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that the Lord's not willing that any should perish, that, he's not talking about dying. He's talking about dying forever. That word perish, amen, we'll buy some in the grocery store and we got perishables and none. Now let me tell you, when God starts talking about perish, he's talking about eternal death in a lake of fire. Boy, I'll tell you what, I'm going to die one day if the Lord doesn't come, and I hope he does. But either way, I'm ready. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad today that I'm not ever going to perish. Why? Because I got a haircut, because I shaved my beard, because I put on a nice suit of clothes, because I don't rob people anymore, because I'm not a dope head or a dope dealer or a drunk, because no, not because of none of that stuff. I'm not going to perish because I got a hold of this thing that we're talking about today, this great salvation. That book says, how shall ye escape if ye neglect so great salvation? Let me answer it for you. You won't! It's a great salvation because it takes care of the great requirement, eternal death. But I'll tell you something else that makes it great today. It's great because, look in verse 8, same chapter, Romans chapter 5. It's great because of the great remedy for the requirement, amen, is found in verse 8 and 9. The Bible says, but God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I'll tell you what is great is the requirement for sin is, amen, death, amen, physical death, eternal death, perpetual death, infinite death, horrible death, in a lake of fire, as bad as that is. Thank God the remedy's greater. Amen. Amen. Thank God the remedy is even greater than that. Amen. Jesus Christ himself is the great remedy. The Bible says in verse 20 of Romans chapter 5, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I love that verse, amen. First time I read that verse, I started to remember the day the law entered, amen. They entered with a battering ram, they entered in, amen, with M16s and flak jackets, amen, they entered in. When the day was over, they carried me out, and after I got done in federal court that day, the offense abounded. That's not what it's talking about, but it's what I thought of, amen, the day the law entered, amen. But I'm sure glad today that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I'm glad that the remedy for sin is greater than the requirement, amen. I'm glad today that the Lord Jesus Christ took it upon himself to go the distance, amen, to humble himself and go to the cross, amen, because you and I had a need, had a great requirement that couldn't be taken care of any other way. Now, there's probably churches on this island, I know across the country, that think that, you know, you clean up your act, you turn over a new leaf, you join a church, you start doing this, you do that, you keep the commandments, you'll be okay. That's not what'll make you okay today. Putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ is what'll make you okay, and nothing else. Say, well, that's just your opinion. No, that's not my opinion at all. That's Bible. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, if that isn't enough, here's what he added for hardheads like me and some of you. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, we do, well, what about you? You know, you get your sins forgiven. You get your name in the book of life. We can go through that Bible. We can discuss anything you want. But I'm going to tell you what. You start putting foolish questions before trusting Jesus Christ by faith as your Savior, you'll be asking those questions forever in hell. And you're going to add one. And it's going to be, why did I neglect so great salvation? Can I say to you, please don't. Please don't. Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, Amen. Left everything. Left glory. Came down here, lived a sinless life. Went into the ministry at 30 years old. Amen. And what did he get for it? Got betrayed by one of his best friends. Got arrested. Amen. Got lied on. They couldn't find witnesses. They found people that were willing to lie. They just couldn't find anybody that would agree. Didn't stop them, though. I was reminded of a story about four high school kids, boys on their way to their senior math final exam. Amen, here comes the guy with the big hook that dragged me out. I always keep an eye on that stuff. Okay, good. Amen. And these four boys, and they don't want to take this test, man. They don't want to take this exam. They know they're not going to do very good. And they're on their way, and they cooked up a scheme. Amen. And they said, let's tell the teacher this. Let's tell the teacher we had a flat tire. Let's go in with 5 minutes left and go in. And they did, man, and they conspired, and they put their heads together, and they walked in 5 minutes ago. The teacher's collecting all the pencils, the exam's over, and they said, oh, we're really sorry we're late. We had a flat tire on the way to school, and we missed the exam. And the teacher said, oh, this is bad. This is a mandatory test. You have to take this test. You have to get a grade for this exam. There's no time left. She said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a quick one-question make-up exam. The boys were all happy. They thought their odds were better if there was only one question. She put them in four corners of the room, and she said, here's the question. Which tire? Which tire went flat? See, they conspired a lie. Amen. But they left out a detail. Amen. They never figured, well, let's tell her the left. Listen, them boys, they flunked. When they got them witnesses to lie on Jesus Christ, their testimony didn't agree any better than that, and they took it anyway. They said, okay, that's good enough. That's good enough. And they sentenced them to be scourged. Do you know what that means? That means to be beaten beyond recognition. That book says when they got done beating Jesus Christ with a whip, his visage, in other words, his appearance, his image, was marred more than the sons of men. He wasn't recognizable. I've seen people beat beyond recognition before, but I never seen anybody take it willingly. But Jesus Christ did for you and for me. Amen? They said, that book says his whiskers were plucked out of his face. Amen. That book says that when they got done scourging him, we got some mental picture of Jesus on the cross with a drop of blood on his forehead. That's not accurate. That book says when they got done whipping him, his bones stared at him. In other words, the flesh was ripped away from his rib cage. As he gave it back to the smiters, he could look down. And he went through that for you and I. Boy, I'll tell you what, I don't think we get it. That book says he was turned over to a whole band of Roman soldiers. They were the toughest bunch on the planet at the time. And they worked him over. And he never did a thing wrong. And then they mocked him. Then they beat him again. They punched him in the face. They put a sack over his head. Said, well, if you're so smart, if you're the Son of God, who did it? Can you imagine the Son of God taking that for you? What do you got this morning? What do you got? What brings you to church? You got religion, amen? You turn over a new leaf. Do you understand that if you're saved today, the sinless Son of God went through that for you? Why? Because the requirement was so great. You are on your way to a devil's hell. If you're not in here, if you are in here and you're not saved now, you're still on your way to a devil's hell. I got news for you. Jesus Christ did that for you. He did it for me. I got it! But it's still available. That's a great salvation. Amen. Boy, they did all that. Then they nailed him to a cross. Then they put him up and dropped the cross down in the hole. Then they stood around and mocked him again. If you can come down, if you're so what you claim to be, come on down. And he could have. Boy, we'd be in a mess if he would have. Somebody we run across in the course of traveling sang a song and about what kept him up on the cross. It wasn't nails, pal. It wasn't nails, ma'am. It was love. A love you and I don't comprehend. That's what kept him up there. Here's what he said. From the cross, with almost his dying breath, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Boy, if that isn't a testimony of the age in which we live, if that isn't a testimony mankind. They know not what they do. Boy, I'm glad. I wish he wouldn't have had to gone to all that for me. Boy, I'll tell you what, when I got a hold of what Jesus Christ did so that I could have my sins forgiven, I've never got over it. I don't ever want to get over it. I sure wish he wouldn't have had to done that. But at the same time, I am sure glad to know that I'm heaven bound today. Are you? Are you? You've been reminded here just in this point of this message, what it took so that you could be sitting here in a church this morning. Amen. With as much going for you as you got going for you. You know what I'm? What I say that? Here's what I mean. Not, hey, listen, we have problems. People have problems. It's part of the package. But I'm going to tell you something. Brother Pat said it right. If your name's in the book of life today, there's a lot of people that trade places with all your problems right now. There's millions and probably billions of people in this world that trade their problem for yours in a hot pair of New York seconds. You hear me? Sin had a great requirement. Death, eternal death. What a crying shame. What an indictment. It is not just against humanity, but against children of God. That we just take that for granted. We get a hold of it, it's precious to us for a little while, and then before long, the cares of this life, the affairs of this life, the issues of this life, the unholy trinity of this life, me, myself, and I. What keeps Christians from living for God? What causes Christians to forget how great the remedy was? They start thinking about themselves. I'm going to tell you what, on your worst day, if you're saved here today, you got a lot going for you. But I tell you what, maybe if we'd be a little more thankful than that, maybe we'd do a little more for Jesus Christ. Maybe we'd have a little more impact and effect. Yeah, I know we're in the last days. I know the world's going to hell in a handbasket. I know things are getting worse and worse. I know the Bible says we're in a downward spiral that no but elected official or anybody else is going to reverse. The Lord's coming back soon. But I tell you what, when he says occupy till I come, he wasn't talking about occupying a church pew, waiting for the Lord to come while the world around us dies and goes to hell. We're supposed to be busy about the Father's business. Maybe we just, maybe that's the point of this message today. Maybe that's why the Lord wanted this preach. Remind us of what he went through. Great salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Easy to answer. We won't. Number one today. That salvation is great because it took care of the great requirement. The requirement was everlasting death. That salvation is great because God Himself became the remedy. That salvation is great because of the great relief that it brings. Listen, when I heard the gospel preached, as far as I can remember, the first time clearly and plainly, I was raised in a church in northern Ohio. I knew who Jesus was. I had sung some of the hymns before. I never had a personal relationship with Christ, and I don't even know if anybody ever told me I needed to have. I knew this. The people that I went to church with didn't look like they were having much fun, and I made up my mind at 18 years old I was going to go out there and have me a little fun. What I didn't count on was what took a little while to get out in that world of sin. It took me 20 years to get back. And I got back by way of a jail cell in Dayton, Ohio, arrested on federal drug and weapon charges, and no bonded, and looking at 37 years in prison, and a preacher comes from the church that I'm a member of, and I went to a jail service just to get out of my cell. I'd been in solitary confinement for a week for starting a riot, amen, and I, to be honest, liked the privacy, but I wanted just to get out of there. I went to a church service, and a preacher came in and said, "We're going to see what the Bible says about you men today." I thought to myself, "Man, you don't know nothing about me. Gang member, drug addict, member of a federal organized crime targeted motorcycle gang." He said, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I went, "Whoa, I am in the Bible." Well, I'll tell you what I say that. Listen, I knew I was a sinner. Amen. People in jail know they're sinners. People on the street know they're sinners. Church folks that get mad when you tell them they're sinners. That's what my job's so much fun. You're a sinner! Amen. I like doing that. Amen. Say, that's not very nice spirited. No, it's just Bible. The Bible says all have sinned. I'm going to tell you what, Jesus Christ was the great relief. Amen. He wasn't just a remedy, he was a relief. You know what that the relief? That preacher preached out of Luke 16. That preacher preached on a lake of fire. That preacher said, I don't know what you're in jail for, but when you get done with that, you're going to burn forever in a lake of fire if you don't get saved. I remember thinking, thanks. Thanks a lot. That cheered me up. That's good. Thanks a lot. I got enough problems. My lawyer, everything coming from home bad. Everything coming from my lawyer's bad. And now you're telling me I'm going to burn forever. Thanks. I'm glad he didn't stop with just that, man. I'm glad he told me what Christ did. Amen. Boy, when I learned the penalty of my sin was worse than just federal prison, I got friends in prison. I'll tell you what, I got friends in hell. I don't want to spend eternity with them. And they don't want me to spend eternity with them either, according to Luke chapter 16. I thought, man, this is getting worse by the day. But then the preacher told me about, I've had chaplains say, Jesus loves you in jail. Jesus loves you and everything's going to be all right. I'm glad a preacher came to me and said, Jesus loves you, and he explained to me how much Jesus loved you, loved me, and I just explained how much Jesus loved you. He gave himself on the cross. But I'm glad a preacher had enough guts to look me in the eye and say, but if you die in your sin, it's not going to be all right. And he told me what Christ went through, and he went through the cross. And he went by way of Calvary to pay for my sin. You know what crossed my mind? I knew I was a sinner. I didn't doubt Christ was real. I didn't doubt he went to the cross. I'd heard the Bible stories. I didn't have a problem believing that. But I had a problem with this right here. There's no way this guy right here could ever be worthy of that. And I was right. And there's no way anybody is ever going to be worthy of what Christ did to pay for our redemption. And that's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me just say it like this. It was a great relief to find out that eternal life was a gift. Amen. Because I knew there wasn't no way I was going to earn it. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a relief, man. No way I was going to be able to afford that remedy. It was a gift. Let me say last of all. Now you've got the requirement, you got the remedy, and you got the relief that the remedy brings. And last of all, there is a great rush involved in all this. It says in 2 Corinthians 6, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And there is an issue of urgency that comes along with hearing and then receiving the gospel of Christ. And here it is. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And every one of us has got plans, but we don't have a promise. Amen. These men rode in on these motorcycles, and they're going to leave here today. They're praying for good weather. Well, how do you know? Because I know. And they're going to go have a take a ride, and they're going to look forward to it. But they're involved in a very dangerous sport. And they know it. And that's when I tell guys to ride, be careful, no matter how good you are, no matter how long you've been at it, amen, it's dangerous. Man, there's a lot of idiots out there. And for the rest of you, make sure you don't become one. Listen, none of us has a guarantee we're going to be back here at 6 o'clock tonight or 7 o'clock tomorrow night. We got plans. But the only promises concern eternity, and they go like this. You die in your sin, you're going to hell. And if you die as a child of God, you're going to the presence of the Lord. You got that. But you don't know what a day may bring forth. And even in the course of a church like this, in prayer requests, just the things that have changed in the week that I've been parked out here. There's people that have situations going on right now they didn't have going on a week ago. Because we don't know what a day may bring forth. Now, we've got an appointment with death, and we already talked about that. We've got an appointment with our Maker, and we've already talked about that, and you know that. Why? Because the Bible says so. Here's the problem. The problem is, none of us know when it's going to be. And that's why there's a rush to get settled. The most important issue there is to settle. Number one, where is your soul going to spend eternity? Do you know? I know. That thing's settled, not because I think so or I'm any great scholar. I'm not. But I got God's word on the thing. And I know that if I drop over dead from a heart attack or get an accident during the course of this week, I know where my soul's going to go. And I'm glad, according to the word of God, you can know. And I'm asking you, do you know? Man, listen, I don't feel like I'm saved. I don't think I'm saved. I don't pray I'm saved. I'm taking God at His word today. Why? Because it's not worth it to find out I was wrong again. I've been wrong so many times in my life, amen? I can't risk this eternity thing, and neither can you. There's a great rush, amen? Better be ready. Prepare. And this is how you prepare. The Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know that works because I did it one day. Now a bunch of you have too, and it works. But I'll tell you what else. We need to be reminded every once in a while just how great that salvation is. This is just the nature of man. We take it for granted. We mark off, okay, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. We mark that off on our list of accomplishments. Little feathers in our hat, and then we just get on about letting the things of this life overshadow that. That's why we have a meeting like this. That's why we have Sunday message like this. That's why we have revivals. You got to get refocused on the main thing for a while. Amen? Let me ask you something this morning. Are you saved? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt where you're going to spend eternity? Do you think that being a good church member or never having killed anybody or not being a dope addict, you think that's what's going to get you in heaven? You think, you know, just being baptized, keeping the commandments? There's a big list. I'll tell you something, religion's put as many people in hell as sin has. Jesus Christ went to the cross, get us off the roster of hellbound sinners. I hope you got it. Now, a bunch of you do. I don't doubt for 1 minute a bunch of you are saved. You haven't lived like it as much as you should. Maybe you need to make a point today to tell the Lord you appreciate what He did. I tell you what, it'll change things. Get your mind off of you. Get your mind back on what He did. Keep you out of hell. That was a great salvation. Amen. There ain't a problem you got right now that anywhere near compares to the problem you had 1 second before you got saved. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We won't. And some of you, many of you, haven't neglected it, and you're saved. But you know somebody that's not. And these prayer requests and these opportunities that God gives us to be a witness, they're important. They're important. And sometimes we play that off. You know, we think that's a preacher's job to witness, or that, you know, you're the preacher boy, or the you know, the ministry, people in the ministry. No, it's up to all of us to live like this thing that we talk about is real. How you live, how you walk, how you conduct yourself in a lost and dying world is going to speak louder than any quick little soul-winning program you can throw at them. Boy, this world's looking for something to believe in. I know I was. I was looking for something to believe in for 20 years, and it found me. And His name's Jesus Christ. With all the mistakes I made, I'm glad I did one thing right. I'm glad I got my sins forgiven. How about you today? Are you saved? Say, well, I didn't expect this kind of church service. Good. Let's do some self-examination. Are you saved? Do you know? Do you know? What's your faith in? Is it on what Christ did? Or is it on something you did? Tell you what, salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing minus nothing. Don't you tamper with the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I'm glad I got in on it. A bunch of you did. You know somebody that didn't. Why don't we stand and bow our heads? Why don't we have a word of prayer? If you're in here today and you're saved and you know somebody that's in here that isn't, maybe, I don't know, it could be another church member. I see church members get saved. Just because you cleaned up and made it into church doesn't automatically mean a thing to me. But I'll tell you something, God knows your heart. And if you'd be honest with yourself for a minute, maybe you need to just admit that you need to get this thing. Well, what will other people think? It's time to be more concerned about what God thinks than what other people think. It's time, amen, to understand that if there's somebody in here who's not saved, you need to be praying for them. If you're in here today and you're not saved, we're going to give you an invitation to come and accept Christ. And I'm going to turn it over to the pastor, and he's going to do it however y'all do it here, and that's fine. But I'll tell you what, don't neglect it. Don't neglect so great salvation. Boy, I tell you what, best thing I ever did. I run with a better crowd than I ever run with. I know Christians aren't perfect, but they're the best I've ever been around. Why don't you join up today? Why don't you, if you're not saved, why don't you get saved today? And if you are, why don't you get in? Why don't you get all the way in? Listen, I spent 37 years on that world. I'll match experience with anybody in here. Not really, because I don't want to sit around. I get guys in, some guys, bikers will come, hear me preaching, and somebody, not always saved bikers for Christ like these guys, somebody invited, and they'll say, we got a lot in common in the past. I say, oh, really? I say, well, I don't care much about talking about the past. How about the future? We got anything in common in the future? Like heaven? See, I'd rather talk about Christ and what Christ did, what Christ is doing. Spend an eternity with Christ. Are you going to spend eternity with Christ? Preacher, you come. You take this invitation any way you want. You need to be praying. The altar's open. You know what to do. Go ahead, preacher.
Let's bow our heads this morning. We're going to sing a hymn in just a minute. But we want to give you an opportunity this morning that if the Spirit of God spoke to you this morning and you realize what you need to do now, this is your opportunity. Notice that verse says neglect. It doesn't say reject. I think there have probably been more people that have neglected their salvation to their own damnation rather than just outright rejected it. Neglect it. That means put it off for later. Keep putting it off. Keep putting it off. Keep putting it off. You know, you just keep putting it off. Yeah, you realize sooner or later you need to do something about it, but not today, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. Maybe this morning you're not rejecting it, but you're just going to neglect it one more time. And there are a lot of things you can neglect to your own damnation. Don't be neglectful about your salvation. There is none other available to you. There's only this one. This salvation through this Savior, His way, He is the way. There's nothing else. There's no other way. It's not a matter of religion. There's no danger in neglecting religion. There's a danger in neglecting your salvation. Maybe you've got plenty of religion this morning, but are you saved? The preacher made it very, very clear this morning. Couldn't be any clearer. Maybe you're here this morning and you've neglected the salvation of your own soul. Is that you today? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're not trying to embarrass anybody. It's just too important an issue to try to push you into a corner and embarrass you into something.
That's right.
But I want to ask you this morning, would you be honest with God? It's an honest book, and God expects honesty in return. Would you be honest with Him this morning? If you're here today and say, yeah, that message was for me this morning. I think I have neglected that great salvation. I know I need to be saved. Please pray for me this morning. Please pray for me. Is anyone like that this morning? If that's you this morning and you realize you need to be saved, and we could pray for you this morning. Would you let us do that? Would you just lift up your hand? Is there anyone like that anywhere in the room? Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. That hand just indicates you recognize you have a need, and you recognize you need God's help, and we'll pray for you this morning. We can't save you, but we can pray for God to do that this morning and help you with that. Is there anyone at all? Could we pray for you this morning? Anyone at all? Just lift your hand up and put it right back down. Anyone at all? Slip it up where I can see it and just put it right back down. Do you know you? Do you recognize? Yes, sir. God bless you. Yes, sir. Is there anyone else? Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Doesn't matter what your neighbor's doing, what anybody else in the room is doing. One day when you stand before the Lord, you'll be there by yourself. Every one of us in particular are going to have to stand before the Lord, give an account. So it doesn't matter what the guy next to you is doing right now. What are you doing? Are you neglecting again? You're going to neglect that great salvation bought for you by the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that you this morning? Boy, I urge you, don't make that mistake this morning. Don't neglect it. Is there anyone else this morning? Yes, sir. God bless you, sir. Amen. God bless you. Yes, sir. Is there anyone else this morning? We can only pray for you this morning. We can do that for you. We'll pray for you. We'll pray that God will make it clear to you. We'll be happy when this service ends, take a Bible, sit with you privately, show you from the Word of God how you can settle this matter between you and God. Anyone else this morning? Slip your hand up and put it right back down. Anyone else? We're going to pray. I'm going to pray for you right now, and I'm sure there are others in this room. I know there are others in this room that are praying for you this morning as well. And then we're going to sing a hymn, and we'll be dismissed. And then that'll be your opportunity. If you'd like to come and talk to us, we'll stay, we'll open a Bible, we'll show you from God's Word. If God spoke to you this morning, you act upon that today. Come to Jesus Christ today. Trust Him today. Don't neglect this one more time. Settle it this morning. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, for the message this morning. We thank You so much for the Spirit of God, for reminding us, Lord, of what our Savior did for us, for the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. Thank You for this great salvation. Lord, thank You for just the fact that it, Lord, is so eternal. It is so perfect. It, Lord, our Savior did everything that needed to be done for us to have this peace and forgiveness and assurance of our heavenly home. Thank You for that, Lord. And I pray for these two that have lifted their hands, Lord. May it be settled in their heart this morning. Help them, Lord. Only the Spirit of God can make this clear to them, Lord. But we pray for them right now, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, I don't know, we don't have to compel You, Lord, to love them and feel merciful toward them, Lord. You've already told us in Your Word. You're not willing that they would perish. What more could You have done for them than give Your Son, that He would bleed and die out of love for their soul? Thank You for all that You've given them. Help them today to realize there isn't anything in life, in this life, that should stand in their way of coming to You this morning. Don't let fear of some friend next to them, don't let fear of anything keep them this morning, Lord, from coming to You. Help them, Lord. Help them. We know even now the devil may be trying to talk them out of their decision. Even now there may be thoughts in their own mind, Lord, that would keep them from coming to You this morning. Help them that one more time, Lord, they would not neglect this great salvation. Help them, Lord. We pray that today would be the day of their salvation. And Lord, there might be others in the room as well. Help them, Lord, that today they would respond and they would come to Jesus Christ and be saved. Lord, we're going to sing this song and we'll be dismissed. But Lord, I pray that these would not walk away. Help them, Lord, that they would come to You today, that You might save them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a hymn book near you there. Would you pick that up, please? And we're going to sing a song together before we go. And if you lifted your hand and you realize you need to be saved this morning, you don't have to wait until the end of this song. If you want to step out even while we're singing, we have men here with Bibles in their hand. They're ready. They'll help you. They'll talk to you. Go somewhere private. Sit down and show you out of God's Word how you can know for sure that you have a home in heaven. All right? So do that. Don't delay, all right?
209.
209.
Pride,
Don't let religion, don't let anything comfort you and save you and love you that much. Is there someone in here this morning who can let us help you this morning? Step out from where you are. Someone will just go with you quietly, privately, and help you from the scriptures so you can get that settled with the Lord. Is there anyone else who would like to do that? Step out from where you are. Come to Jesus Christ this morning. Is there anyone else? Alright. Let's go ahead and sing that third verse, brother.
Alright, let's sing it together on the third verse.
Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away?
Infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed. Wow. Freely. No strings attached, no cost to you, freely bestowed on all who get religious. Right? No, on all who believe.
Glory to God.
How much simpler could God have made it for you and I to have everlasting life? Friend, it can't get any simpler than this. He couldn't have made it any simpler for you. Paid for by the Son of God, offered to you for free, everlasting life through His blood, just by believing on Jesus Christ with all your heart. Freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? You may be longing in your heart, one day I hope I go to heaven. You may be thinking, well, I'll tell you. You long to see His face one day, then you must receive Him. You must receive that grace. Jesus said, you must be born again. There's no option here, friend. There's no option. Salvation is very narrow-minded. It's a narrow way. It's through Jesus Christ, or it's not at all. And I fear someone is going to neglect this morning to your own destruction. You're going to go home and you're going to neglect it and you're going to think, I got another chance. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. My heart breaks for you because you may neglect your salvation and you may not have that other chance. So urge you. There's an urgency. There is a rush. Today, right now. Don't leave this room. I'm going to keep my promise. We're going to pray and we're going to be dismissed. But if you've got a need and you want to talk to somebody, we're not running out of here. We'll stay and help you. Somebody will take a Bible. I'll take a Bible. Sit down with you. The preacher would be happy to do that. Sure. If you want to talk, we'll sit down, open the scriptures so that you can settle this morning. Know for sure that you have so great salvation. Let's bow our heads. Father, Lord, we thank you for that man that's being spoken to right now. We pray you'd help him, Lord, that, Father, if there's any question in his own mind or heart about his salvation, that, Lord, you would just settle that for him, meet that need. Show him and remind him the promises of your word. Give him that assurance, Lord. And Father, I pray for those that may be walking out of this room this morning and still have not dealt with you, Lord, about their soul. Father, help them. Help them to remember there's no other way around this. There is no escape. As the preacher made it clear this morning, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, Lord? Pray that'll be impressed on their heart, and they won't be able to forget it, Lord. There is no escape except through Jesus Christ. And I pray you'd help them, Lord, not to make that tragic mistake of neglecting this. Thank you for the time together this morning. Just thank you, Lord, to the reminder to our souls of our Savior and what He did for us. What a blessing it is, Lord, to hear it again and again. Father, we pray you'd prepare our hearts for the meeting tonight. Bless the service tonight. Prepare the preacher. And just help us, Lord, this afternoon that whatever we may do, however we may fellowship with one another or with our families, Lord, we would just be mindful to honor you in all that we say and do.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for what you've accomplished here in this meeting this morning. We give you all the glory and the honor, and we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And we will be back together tonight at 6 o'clock, so be faithful. Be here for that meeting. God bless you.